Welcome, as always. I hope this is working correctly, and I'm glad to see any of you on here that have been able to figure this out and join us on a week-to-week basis. I am assuming that all of the audio and video is looking all right and doing all right, with the exception of the fact that I'm in it. So, anyways, good to see you. Welcome to Ecclesia. Online televangelism program that we are carrying on for the time being. Glad to have you on here. If you happen to be just connecting with us for the very first time or just scooting by and stopping for a moment, welcome. You're welcome to stay. Tonight, we at 5 o'clock each Sunday night, we've been coming online and doing just a short teaching or sermon as we normally would. We met in person, but as we are not meeting in person for a while still, we've decided to maintain this service to everyone. So know that you're welcome. We are a community that is not associated with any particular denomination, and we truly mean it when we say that everyone is welcome. And so we hope that if you don't have a place you're connected to, you will consider getting more connected to the work we're doing. All right. Well, it's been a crazy week. I hope you guys are doing well. I'm doing pretty good, and we've got big news in Mississippi right now, which I think a lot of us are excited about to see kind of moving forward on the flag issue, which is honestly not something I thought I would see happen anytime soon. So I was glad to see that. Good to get a little good news every now and again since we've got, you know, COVID and murder hornets and dust storms from across the seas attacking us somehow. I'm looking back into Revelation to make sure we're not unlocking any of the seven seals. Hopefully not. But, yeah, it was good to get a little good news. So we wanted to invite you. For those of you that are part of the communications and part of the community and have been on the communications, you know that we'll have the Zoom meeting afterwards. It's just a place for the members of the community to touch base, catch each other up on how their week is going, let us know if there's any needs or any prayer requests or any of those kind of things. And so you're welcome to join us in that. Look in your email. If you're on the text group text, any of that, you'll find links to those things in there. So this week, normally week to week, we're going through the lectionary passages. And this week, I'm going to be honest with you, I just couldn't get with the lectionary program. The text for this week was actually just like a couple of verses at the very end of what we talked about last week. It's every once in a while in the lectionary text, you'll find these sections where you're wondering, whoever kind of came up with it, you just wonder what they were thinking. We have all this text from last week, and then we've got like these little couple verses for this week's that, you know, they could have divvied it up a little bit better. I went over it. I was starting to develop a sermon on it, and honestly, it just didn't feel like it was going anywhere. And also through the readings I was doing this week and some of the personal stuff, I came across a particular Psalm 13, and it just really landed with me. And it brought up an experience I had that is actually one of the, strangely enough, one of the formational experiences for me spiritually that's associated with this text. And so I just said, you know what, I'm going to talk about Psalm 13. And tonight's probably not going to be as long as normal, to be honest with you. And I encourage you actually, either during the talk or right afterwards, we'll probably have some time before the 5:30 Zoom meeting. Consider maybe even getting a piece of paper and a pen, pulling out your own Bible or pulling up the Bible on your phone or something so you can look at this text. It's pretty short. But this text for me is associated with what was one of the few just big aha moments I had as a young person. And I grew up in church, right? I grew up in Sunday school. I grew up in Christian schools most of my life. I was sat in a lot of Bible classes, a lot of Sunday school classes. But I really had very few of those just lights turn on kind of aha moments, right? And when I was 17 years old, I went to a Sunday school class. It was mostly an excuse just to see the couple of friends I had in there, because I honestly didn't have that many friends at the time. And it would be an understatement to say that I wasn't in a good place in my life. I hadn't kind of bottomed out for the worst part of my life yet, but it was coming. And honestly, at that point, I was frankly not even really all that interested in God anymore. I had tried not to believe. I tried to kind of be an atheist because I was upset about some things, and for me, it didn't stick. I could never quite make it work. I was in this not so great place, but I showed up for Sunday school, and I honestly don't remember how much I did that, but at the time. But that day, there's just a couple of us in the room, and the youth minister, who's went on to become a very good friend of mine. And looking back on it now that I've led enough classes and stuff, I don't know if this was like he had run out of stuff and he just kind of come up with something or read something and gave it to us, because there wasn't a whole lot to it. But on that day, it made this huge impact on me. And what he did was he handed out those student Bibles that that every youth group ever had, and he told us to turn to Psalm 13, and then he asked me. I got elected or whatever. Elected may not be the right word. I didn't run for office. I was appointed to read this psalm to everyone else. Right. And so I did. I read it, and Psalm 13 is what's called a psalm of lament. And there's a handful of psalms that are called psalms of lament, and it is one of those places where people are writing a song or a poem to God about God. And the laments are what they sound like. They're laments. They center on individual or communal suffering. And Psalm 13 is one of those laments that doesn't give much details, right? We don't know the exact cause or even nature of the suffering that's being addressed here. And so Psalm 13 can kind of serve as this prototype for a lament psalm, because it's unspecific enough that you can kind of apply it to anything, right? And so what you get here in all the psalms, right, is letters from people to God, or songs, or and it's a way that the people are reflecting on the nature of who God is and the nature of life and the ups and the downs. And Psalm 13 is this lament that after this day just came to mean a lot to me. And in that day, in the exercise we did, I had just a lights turn on kind of moment. Let me read the psalm and then I'll talk more about it. And again, we won't take a long time tonight, but Psalm 13 says this: "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken, but I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Let me read that one more time. It's just a few short verses. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed, and my foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." So we have this psalm of lament. And after I read that out loud, and again, I grew up in church. I'm not sure I'd ever read that psalm before. I don't remember ever reading it before that. Then the youth minister told us to grab a pen and a piece of paper. And he told us, "All right, well, the final 25 minutes of your Sunday school class, I want you to just sit in different parts of the room, be totally quiet, and I want you to write your own psalm of lament." And again, now in retrospect, I'm not sure if like he just didn't have anything else and didn't feel like teaching, so he was just giving us something to do, just let's play the quiet game for 25 minutes. Very possible. It happens for all of us. But for whatever reason, I took the task to heart. And I was not short on laments at that point in my life, right? And so I went over and sat by myself, and I had the pen and paper. In fact, I think I might have had my own journal, because I was a very tortured teenage poet at the time. And I created my own Psalm of Lament. And I have no idea where that's at now. I wish I could pull it out and read it to you. Actually, I probably don't. I doubt it was great literature. But it was sincere, right? And it held all the normal components of a Psalm of Lament that you find here in Psalm 13. There's a kind of a theological questioning of God, or a complaint, or even an accusation of why God is doing what God is doing, or not doing what God should be doing. There's this personal pronouncement of suffering. There's a request for help that seemingly is going on deaf ears right now. And then some kind of declaration or settling into faith that God really is good in spite of everything that seems to be going on, right? And so I wrote my own Psalm of Lament. And I got into it. And I was, that 25 minutes went quick, and I was really engaged. I used all 25 minutes, and I wrote a much longer psalm than Psalm 13, because apparently I had a lot of bones to pick with God at the time. And this sounds like maybe a weird little melodramatic exercise, but this was a first for me. And again, I wasn't new to church. I wasn't new to God. It was a first for me, and it was just an aha revelatory moment for me. I mean, I was 17 years old, right? I could almost legally buy cigarettes if I wanted to. Did quick math. I'm guessing I had 850 weeks of church up to that point, probably 2,000 Bible classes, since we had one every day at my Christian school. And this was the first time out of 850 weeks of Sunday school and church, a couple thousand Bible classes, this was the first time I had ever gotten permission to be openly angry with God. The first time. First time I'd ever been told it was okay, and not only okay, it was biblical, to be honest about what I thought was wrong with the world around me and what I thought was wrong with the way God was handling it or not handling it. Right? Now, don't get me wrong. This particular Sunday was definitely not the first time I was upset at God, or that I had a lament. I mean, by the time I was 17, you know, I probably had two solid years of mostly lamenting at that point in my life. But I always knew that those thoughts and those feelings, I always knew that that posture was a failure of my Christianity, right? It's what made me a bad Christian, which, of course, would make me feel worse about feeling that way. And then feeling worse, of course, would increase my feelings of anger towards God, which would start it all over again. You get into this kind of cyclical thing that happens. And I was right in the middle of that. I won't go into huge details, but there's a lot about the world that didn't seem like it was working the way it was supposed to. The way I believed God should be interacting with me, and the deal that we should have had as God and really nice follower of God weren't working out the way I thought they should. I was angry, and I was hurt, and I was depressed, and I was all these things. And then I'd feel bad about being those things, and then I'd get angry about it, and then it would just start all over again, right? And so this is the thing that I'm stuck in. And I grew up in a situation, not so much in my house, I don't feel like, as it was like in the churches and Christian schools I was a part of, that we just never talked about faith this way, right? I mean, honestly, if someone had said in my church growing up, if someone had gotten up on a Sunday morning in the church service and said, "Hey, I just want you to know, I'm just really mad at God right now," right? I mean, there would have been literal clutching of pearls, right? The air would have left the room. It's not that we didn't understand that life was hard sometimes. I mean, life happens. We knew life was hard sometimes, but faith meant smiling anyways and praising God through gritted teeth, like no matter what, right? If someone was mad at God, that was the problem that needed to be immediately addressed. The problem was their anger with God. The problem wasn't the fact that they were suffering or the fact that there was something that was incomprehensible to them or any of those. The cause of the anger was not the problem. The anger itself was the problem. And I think it came from a good place. I think people wanted everyone to be faithful and positive and all those things. It was well-intentioned, I'm sure. But I think it was extremely destructive, at least it was for me, because it bred this kind of hypocrisy or this cognitive dissonance, this acting like something was that wasn't. And I don't know that hypocrisy or cognitive dissonance or acting are any of the fruits of God's Spirit, right? But that's not what we see in these Psalms of Lament. Faith is throughout these Psalms. It's woven all throughout there. It's in the background of these cries for justice and for help. But it's never there at the expense of a genuinely expressed heartache or brokenness. These Psalms of Lament don't choose faith against pain and suffering and honesty about those things. It allows them to exist at the same time. And there's something truly powerful about these Psalms of anger and frustration and lament. And I think the first thing I didn't understand that I wish I would have is that the underlying premise of these Psalms of Lament, which we never read in church, we never talked about these. In fact, we would take Psalms and like use the parts that were kind of praising God and leave out. We'd literally just skip the parts where people are complaining. But the underlying premise of these Psalms of Lament is that my problems, my suffering, is God's suffering. Right? They are God's problems. God is, or at least should be, feeling them too, right? That God has or should have a vested interest in what is wrong and what needs to be healed and redeemed. Right? These Psalms only make sense if the God you're addressing is connected to and cares about your despair. If God is not that kind of God, if God has no capacity for that kind of empathy, then what would be the point of even writing this? It'd be nonsense to write this to a distant and disconnected creator, right? These Psalms of Lament are not examples or not acts of faith being lost. To lament is to announce a kind of faith. It is to proclaim that God has skin in the game. That God is empathetic and connected and wants to heal and wants to redeem and is working in our lives. Maybe not always the way we want, not always on the timeline we want, but God is doing something. We were laughing because our daughter last week wrote a letter to the president. She wanted to mail a letter to the president, so we did one. And she basically, I'll sum it up, said, hurry up and find a cure for the coronavirus because I want to go back to school. Can I get an amen? It was very cute, and we mailed it. But of course, I doubt he is going to read it, right? I mean, even if our president was the most gracious human being on the planet right now, he can't care about everyone's pain. He doesn't have that capacity. No human being has that capacity. And to believe otherwise is sweet, but it's kind of childish, right? And yet the psalmist, as people of faith, the psalmist, and hopefully we really do believe this about our Creator, that what pains us, what causes us to struggle, what causes us to sense death in the air, matters to God. The lament is not a lack of faith. It's an act of faith. This is why each of the Psalms of Lament have proclamation and hope and promises and praise in there as well. It's not because the problem is solved by the end of the poem. It's not a 30-minute sitcom where it all wraps up by the time it's done being written. It's because faith and doubt, questions and heartache and even anger can all coexist. And they do. And when I was reminded about Psalm 13 this week, it was just a reminder I really needed of that realization I had at 17 years old, that exercise I performed at 17 years old that flipped that light switch for me. Because the truth is, like many of you, I've got some questions right now I'd like to have answered. I mean, the past few months, you know, I mean, it feels like there's just been this low grade kind of sadness underlying everything. And yes, bad things keep happening. But it's even kind of beyond that a little bit, right? To my eyes and to my own heart and soul, it has felt like death is landing a lot of punches right now. Whether it's personally and individually, among family and friends, and also just on a global scale. It feels like death is landing a lot of punches right now. And if you read the lament of Psalm 13, death is the real enemy here. And sometimes it feels like death is winning, right? There's just too much illness. There's too much anger and bitterness and uncertainty and misunderstanding and disinformation. Too many plans that I have that I have no opportunity to make a reality right now, right? Too much isolation from the people we love. And at times it's just felt like too much. Have you had those days? We've had those days. I've had those days. I know it's happened in our house. And a phrase that has literally passed my lips several times, as well as my wife's, and I'm sure a lot of yours, is, oh, how long? How much longer? Right? How much longer? And this is the language of lament. And I'm still tempted, even though the light turned on when I was 17, I'm still tempted to see it as a compromise of my faith and not a component. But there is no command in faith to feel bad about feeling bad. Maybe this is just a season of lament. And maybe lament can be constructive and positive someday. As much as we may never want to do this again, maybe we'll look back on it and see what God was doing through it. Maybe this is just a season of not being okay with the way things are and trusting that God's not okay with it either, even if we don't see much happening. Because faith can, does, and will live in concert with all the doubt, all the suffering, all the lament. They're not mutually exclusive. So I just wanted to leave you with that. I'm not sure if you needed to be reminded of that as much as I did this week. And maybe something you can do if you need to is just find a quiet place, grab a pen and a piece of paper, and faithfully lament. Or maybe you just need permission to know that feeling bad is not altogether bad. That God is still God. God can handle whatever feelings you're having. And lament is part of faith. This is one of the great gifts I received a couple decades ago in a Sunday school lesson that I think may have just been a throwaway. And I hope it'll be a gift to you as well. All right. About 5:30, we'll be meeting on the Zoom meeting. Thank you guys for joining us, and peace be with you.